originally by Sri Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami in Sanskrit and English, translated and commentated on by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. On this 24th day of September, 2016, in Alachua, Florida, reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 10, starting on text 114. Atta eva sorup age kode parikan. Shuddha hohi yadi prabhude karana shravan. Atta eva sorup age kode parikan. Shuddha hohi yadi prabhude karana shravan. Ate eva swarup age kade padikan. Shuddha hohi yadi prabhude karan shravan. Ate eva swarup age kade padikan. Shuddha hoi yadi prabhude karana shravan. Ladies? Jayce, you want to? Eva sorup age kade parikan. Shuddha hoi yadi prabhude karana shravan. Ate eva sarup age kade parikshana. Shuddha hoi yadi prabhude karana shravan. How about ladies now? Ate eva sarup age kade parikan. Shuddha hoi yadi prabhude karan shabam. Shuddha hoi yadi prabhude karan shabam. Okay, so you got the synonyms there? All right, I'll just read them through. You can read along. Ateva, therefore, sarup, sarup damadar, age, at first, kade, does, parikshana, examination, shuddha, pure, hoi, is, yadi, if, prabhure, unto Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, karana, causes, shavan, hearing. Okay. Shuddha is pure, what did I say? Oh, I'm sorry. Alright, translation. It was the practice of Sarup Damodar Goswami to examine all literatures to find out whether their conclusions were correct. Only then would he allow them to be heard by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that if something impedes the execution of devotional service, it should be understood to be impure. Pure devotees of the Lord do not accept impure principles. Impure devotees accept rasabhas, or overlapping contradictory mellows, and other principles opposed to the bhakti path. The followers of such impure principles are never accepted as pure devotees. There are many parties following the path of rasabhas, and the followers are sometimes adored by ordinary men. Those who adopt the conclusions of rasabhas and bhakti siddhanta virudha are never accepted as devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sarup Damodar Goswami never approved such followers as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, nor did he allow them even to meet the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, we have a few other verses to read here. Okay, next text. Vidyapati Chandidas Sri Gita Govinda. Etina gite karana prabhura ananda. Sri Swarup Damodar used to read the poems of Vidyapati and Chandidas and Jayadev Goswami's Sri Gita Govinda. He used to make Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very happy by singing these songs. Next. Sangite Gandharva Sama Shastre Brihaspati Damodara Sama Ar Nahi Mahamati. Swarup Damodar was an expert, Swarup Damodar was as expert a musician as the Gandharvas, and in scriptural discussion, he was just like Brihaspati, the priest of the heavenly gods. Therefore, it is to be concluded that there was no great personality quite like Swarup Damodar. Purport. Swarup Damodar Goswami was very expert in music as well as the Vedic scriptures. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to call him Damodar because of his expert singing and musical skills. The name Damodar was given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and added to the name given by his sannyas guru. He was therefore known as Swarup Damodar, or Damodar Swarup. He compiled a book of music named Sangeet Damodar. Text 117. Advaita Nityanandera Parama Priyatama Shivasadi Bhakta Ganir Hoy Pranasama. Sri Swarup Damodar was very dear to Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu, and he was the life and soul of all the devotees headed by Shivas Thakur. Text 118. Se Damodar Asi Dandavat Hoila Charane Padiya Shloka Padite Lagila. When Swarup Damodar came to Jagannath Puri, he fell flat before the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, offering him obeisances and reciting a verse. And this is the verse, which is a very important verse according to Srila Prabhupada. He lo du nita kedaya vishadaya pranmi ladamo daya. Shamyat chastra vivadaya vasadaya chitta piton madaya. Shasvat bhakti vinodaya samadaya madhurya maryadaya. Sri Chaitanya Dayana Deta Badaya Bhuyara Mando Daya. O Ocean of Mercy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, let there be an awakening of your auspicious mercy, which easily drives away all kinds of material lamentation by making everything pure and blissful. Indeed, your mercy awakens transcendental bliss and covers all material pleasures. By your auspicious mercy, quarrels and disagreements arising among different scriptures are vanquished. Your auspicious mercy pours forth transcendental mellows and thus causes the heart to jubilate. Your mercy, which is full of joy, always stimulates devotional service and glorifies conjugal love of God. May transcendental bliss be awakened within my heart by your causeless mercy. Srila Prabhupada's purport. This important verse, Sri Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka 8.10, specifically describes the Lord's causeless mercy. And you may note that this word daya, which means mercy, appears 12 times in the verse in various combinations. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the most magnanimous personality of Godhead, distributes his causeless mercy in three ways to the conditioned soul. Every living entity is morose in the material world because he is always in want. He undergoes a great struggle for existence and tries to minimize his miserable condition by squeezing the utmost pleasure out of this world. But the living entity is never successful in this endeavor. While in a miserable condition, a person sometimes seeks the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But this is very difficult for materialistic people to obtain. However, when one becomes Krishna conscious by the grace of the Lord, the fragrance of the lotus feet of the Lord expands, and in this way, a materialist may gain freedom from his miseries. Actually, his mind is cleansed by his transcendental connection with the lotus feet of the Lord. At such a time, one is enlightened by the loving service of the Lord. There are many different kinds of scriptures, and by reading them, one often becomes puzzled. But when one receives the mercy of the Lord, when he speaks of the Lord, he's talking about Lord Chaitanya, his confusion is mitigated. Not only are scriptural disparities resolved, but a kind of transcendental bliss is awakened. And in this way, one is fully satisfied. The transcendental loving service of the Lord constantly engages the conditioned soul in serving the Lord's lotus feet. Through such fortunate engagement, one's transcendental love for Krishna is increased. One's position is thus completely purified, and one is filled with transcendental bliss, accompanied by the spirit soul's jubilation. Thus, the transcendental causeless mercy of the Lord, of Lord Krishna, is manifested in the heart of the devotee. At such a time, material needs no longer exist. The lamentation that invariably accompanies material desires also vanishes. By the grace of the Lord, one is elevated to the transcendental position, and then the transcendental mellows of the spiritual world are manifested in him. One's devotional service then becomes firm, and one engages in the Lord's transcendental loving service with great determination. All these combine to fully awaken the devotee's heart with love of Krishna. In the beginning, a conditioned soul is bereft of Krishna consciousness and is always morose in his material activities. Later, by associating with a pure devotee, one becomes inquisitive to know the absolute truth. In this way, one begins to engage in the transcendental service of the Lord. Next, by the Lord's grace, all misconceptions are vanquished and the heart is cleansed of all material dirt. It is only then that the pleasure of transcendental bliss is awakened. By the Lord's mercy, one is completely convinced of the value of devotional service. When one can see the pastimes of the Lord everywhere, he is firmly situated in transcendental bliss. Such a devotee is relieved of all kinds of material desires, and he preaches the glories of the Lord all over the world. These Krishna-conscious activities separate him from material activities and the desire for liberation, because at every step, the devotee feels himself connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhood. Although such a devotee may sometimes be involved in household life, he is untouched by material existence due to his constant engagement in devotional service. Thus, everyone is advised to take shelter of devotional service to become happy and liberated. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Om jnana tumarandasya jnananjana shalakya chakshu unmilitam mena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and to all members of Sri Purandara. So I honestly have to confess that I felt I had won the lottery by getting this class to be able to reach this verse. This is such an important verse, as Srila Prabhupada says at the beginning of this purport, and it so nicely encompasses and describes the different effects of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Before expanding on that a little bit, just a few verses about this meeting of Surab Damodar. You have already heard last Saturday, I assume, how he came, when Lord Chaitanya returned from his South Indian tour. It was 2 years, I think, he was gone. And he then reappeared back in Jagannath Puri, and this was a great source of jubilation for all the devotees there. And I think they notified the ones in Navadvipa, and many of them came up. And I was just thinking, as I was preparing for this class and reading over this section, you know, we're so used to communications, electronic communications. Practically speaking, in so many ways, geography is losing its meaning in many ways. You know, I used to have to go to L.A. every couple of months and work on books with Archer. Now, everything is there on the internet, right? We just talked to our friend in Jagannath Puri yesterday. But none of that was there when Lord Chaitanya was in those days. And so Assumedly, they would get some news coming back that would hope, you know, on, about his activities on that South Indian tour. But most of the time, it was just this intense feeling of separation. They had Lord Chaitanya's company for a short time, and then he left on that tour in South India. And later on, we learned all the details from the notes of Sri Damodar and everything that was said. But just to try to enter into that mood of what real separation means, you don't have any indication of where the person is, what they're doing, how they are, or anything. And then they come back, and in the case here, it's described so beautifully in this chapter, how all the devotees would just felt like their life had come back into their bodies, and they crowded into the Gambhir. Right? You ever seen that Gambhir? It's small. What is it, about one-tenth the size of this room? You know? And they're all crowding in there to just be with Lord Chaitanya. So very moving scene. And then this, you know, very dramatic scene here where Sri Damodar appears, and it's described how he had gone off to Varanasi as soon as Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, practically in madness, and he was going to taking sannyas, but he never really got the change of name and all these, you know. And so then when we heard about Lord Chaitanya came back to Puri, then he came back here and never left him. And his only desire was to just dive into the mellows of highest devotional service for Lord Chaitanya. As it's described here, reading these very intimate books, you know, Gita Govinda, and enhancing Lord Chaitanya's mood, and also guarding him from any nonsense that would come, who try to, you know, because everyone wanted to come and present their books to Lord Chaitanya, and so he would serve that function. So, but this particular verse, you know, encapsulates so much, and let's go over some of the points here. Now, it's described here that this mercy manifests in three ways. And from what I understand, we can have discussion on this. The first installment, if you will, of getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is a, maybe not 100%, but a great release of a relief from material miseries. And if you notice, in the description of the benefits of Krishna consciousness, such as the chanting of the holy name, that's always the first one. In fact, it's often said, you begin chanting, you're liberated, right? Well, liberation entails this relief from the miseries, which includes all the internal anxiety and everything. And so that's the first benefit here. Halo dunit, very easily. O dunit kediya. It is driving away the lamentation. And how is it doing that? By awakening this transcendental bliss, causing the heart to jubilate. Don't you just love that phrase? Yeah. How often do you hear jubilate used as a verb? We hear a million times jubilation, right? But jubilate, called not to jubilate. It's a wonderful turn of phrase here by Srila Prabhupada. So the idea is that, and we've all experienced this, as soon as you come into, because what is how is Lord Chaitanya's mercy manifest most clearly? By kirtan, by the chanting. This is how we're known. Right? This is the Yuga Dharma. This is Lord Chaitanya's means of preaching. And when you get drawn into a kirtan amongst devotees, right? And you get, immediately the darkness lifts in your mind. And so much anxiety and depression, and, you know, you're bearing the weight of the world on your shoulders. But the first time you're able to enter into a kirtan, you can feel directly the benefits of this chanting of the holy name, which is directly the benefits of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So that's causing the heart to jubilate. And the second line here is very interesting. Samya Chastavabhadaya is that it reconciles all kinds of different interpretations of different scriptures. Now, we had an advantage. I was just listening to a lecture today from Prabhupada every morning when I get up, and, you know, I listen to a lecture of Prabhupada. And he's in Bombay at that time. He's giving the talks on Kapila Dev, which I returned into the book, you know, when they were made into the book, the teachings about Kapila Dev. So he's describing this verse in the fourth canto, and it's exactly like this. Yet, and some of you may recognize this verse. Yet pada pankata palasa balasa bhaktya karmashayam gutatam ungutayanti santa. This is a verse spoken by Sanat Kumar to Maharaj Prithu in the fourth canto. A beautiful, near the end of his instructions to Maharaj Prithu. So what it's saying there is that by the vilas, by the spiritual pleasure of serving literally the toes of the lotus feet of Krishna, the bhaktas cut asunder the knots in the heart which are binding us to this material world very easily. It's the pleasure of bhakti, the rasa, that unties those knots and eliminates them. On the other hand, tadvanna rikta matayo yatayopi rindhasrota ganasamananam vajavasadevam. The verse is an instruction. Worship Vasudev. He's instructing Prithu, he's instructing us. On the other hand, those whose minds are empty of any bhakti, it's rikta matayo. You look up the Vishnu Chakrabarti commentary. And that's one of the main reasons, understandings of that phrase. In other words, the jnanis, what to speak of the gross karmis, the yogis, but they have no bhakti. They cannot, even though they may for some time look very renounced and austere, ultimately they cannot stop the waves of material desire in the heart. And so they remain bound to this world and therefore worship Vasudeva. So that's exactly what Lord Chaitanya gives. He gives even, you know, first time impure Kali Yugites who can somehow get into the chanting of the holy name, take up the process of devotional service. You can experience some of that spiritual pleasure, and that negates so much of material illusion, material desire. So that's how the misery is given up. And then the reconciliation of the different arguments of different scriptures, or even on the same scripture, right? I mean, we have so many wonderful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, where he, most famous, seemed most prominent, is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was so learned. He was the main acharya and learned scholar in Jagannath Puri at that time. And he was in the impersonal side, right? But he had his great good fortune was that he showed great kindness and affection for Lord Chaitanya when he came into that temple. You know the scene where Lord Chaitanya takes sannyas and he's traveling to Puri on his mother's request, right? Making that his headquarters. And he's going, and then his whole adventure, Nityananda's with him. He breaks the rod. You know, and Lord Chaitanya feigns anger. He says, I'm not going to go with you. I'll go behind or ahead. So you go ahead. We'll follow you. Right? He had several others with him. Mukunda was there. Was Gadadhar Pandit with him too? At that time. It was a small group. Yeah. So he went ahead very fast. And he had, you know, went ahead. And he reached the temple first. Went right into the temple, saw Jagannath and saw Shyamasundar. And fell down in Samadhi. Right? And the guards thought, oh, this is another one of these fakers. And they were about ready to beat him. And Sarvabhauma was there, luckily, and Krishna's arrangement. And he said, no, wait. You know? And so he tested, and he really looked like he wasn't breathing. Oh, he's just a genuine samadhi, you know. And he saw he was so young and so beautiful, you know. So he was, his heart opened up. You know, forget about his philosophy, his crazy philosophy, but his heart opened up. And so he carefully took Lord Chaitanya to his home, and you know, and then the others came eventually, and after some loud kirtan, he woke up and got up. And, then everything swallowed from there. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very concerned, you know, because he was so young and so attractive. He said, how is he going to maintain sannyas? You know, because he knew the Mayavadi sannyas had a hard time. So anyway, he got into eventually where he decided he offered to teach Lord Chaitanya the Vedanta Sutra, right? And Lord Chaitanya agreed, and there's that wonderful painting where he's listening, you know. Sarvabhauma. Finally, he runs out of steam after 7 days, right? Lord Chaitanya doesn't say a word. you're listening, but you're not asking any questions. Do you understand the sutras? And Lord Chaitanya says, I understand the sutras perfectly well, but you're covering them with your explanation. And the meaning is brilliant, but you're trying. So he says, well, what is your understanding? And then he starts teaching the Mahanta Sutra and giving, you know, the perfect Bhakti Vedanta understanding. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is completely converted, right? And he gets the vision of the Shadbhuj and everything and falls down. He becomes 100% totally, you know, servant. So that's the most dramatic, you know, if you will, reconciliation or clearing of the meaning of Shastra, so that there's no doubt And again, with Prakashananda Saraswati, even with the Muslims, right? Not only with Kazi, you know, but also with the Patan, became the Patan Vaishnavas, where he met the peer. I remember that, and when I read that word, I said, oh, I remember Pierre Villette. Remember Pierre Villette, who was one of the 60s, 70s spiritual leaders, came to the West. He's the, like, the Muslim spiritual master, like that. So he had a little debate with him, and they all converted, and then they became Vaishnavas. So the idea is that everything becomes reconciled. All the shastras become clear as a bell by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's from his teachings that all our books are coming. What are we reading here? Of course, the text of the CC, which is written by Krishna's Kaviraj, inspired by Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and teachings, and requested by the devotees to illuminate those final pastimes. And Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. Well, where does that purport come from? From Baladeva Vidyabhushan, the student edition of Chakrabarti. It's all coming from the Goswamis who are coming straight from Lord Chaitanya. So we're really getting the understanding, the conclusive understanding of all the books, whether it's the Nectar of Devotion or it's the Isha Upanishad. Every book we have is really the teachings of Lord Chaitanya has come down in a way that we can understand. This is Srila Prabhupada's wonderful gift to us. In a way we could understand first by translating English language and then by speaking in such a way in the vocabulary that we could relate to. So that's, and it causes the heart to jubilate, Chittarpaton Madhya. Then he himself is, now that's, so that's two. One is relieving the miseries, two is resolving all the confusion of Shastra and giving us the Siddhanta that in a way that we can accept and understand. And then Shashvat Bhakti Vinodaya, stimulating devotion up to the highest levels of Madhurya Ras. In other words, Lord Chaitanya is giving something that anyone can relate to, can enter into, this chanting. There's no restriction. And this was a revolutionary idea, right, in Navadvipa, you remember, where it wasn't just the Muslims, the first was the smarter Brahmins who were very disturbed. What is all this loud chanting? Where does it say you have to loud chanting? They're disturbing my sleep, you know? And this is where they're at, you know. And so they complained to the Qazi, who then came and broke the drum, you know, stuff. In other words, they had so far veered away from the real understanding of the import of Shastra, the Srimad Bhagavatam especially, that they were complaining about this chanting, which brings to mind again Prabhupada's lecture in Mumbai. Because these lectures were given in 74 during the great struggle to secure the land and get permission to build and all those different things, you know, some of the struggle. By the way, I don't know if you know, Giriraj Swami is writing a wonderful account of that. And he's interviewing all kinds of devotees who were there, and it's really going to be a masterpiece. So Prabhupada is right in the middle of it. And he's saying, just see, you know, here are my students, he would call them. And they're all from America and Europe, practically all of them at that time. There was maybe one or two devotees, Lokanath Swami, a few others at that time. And so, he's saying how the Indians are complaining, it's a nuisance, this chanting, this loud chanting is a nuisance. You know, we can't sleep. It's just like in the CC, right? Just see how far we've come after independence. You know, it was only, 20 years after, 25 years after independence. And so that's why he couldn't get any traction in India. I mean, this was Krishna's arrangement. If Prabhupada succeeded with the League of Devotees, you're reading that timeline, he might not have come. I mean, the real order of Bhaktisiddhanta, as far as I remember, was basically to preach in English, which Prabhupada was doing through Back to God at Magazine and other ways. So if he had succeeded there and really established something, but he didn't, precisely because the Indians at that time didn't really appreciate. They thought they knew already. Oh, Vasudev, I know Vasudev. Krishna, yeah, we have Krishna. Bicycle shop, we have everywhere. My mother taught me the stories when I was young. I know all about this. He's an incarnation of Vishnu, right? Just like yesterday, I went down to Gainesville, you know, to the Krishna house down there to give a little class, and we had a nice conversation. It's really a nice group. You know, they go through, they're all PhDs, candidates, or, you know, very intelligent, mostly Indian body. Young man who came to study at the university. But just some others there. So afterward, I was sitting, you know, taking a little basad, and they were asking me, and one of the boys is very respectful, says, Krishna is an incarnation of Vishnu, right? You know, this is like all this misconception. So I had to explain, no, why Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, and all this stuff. So that's what Prabhupada was faced with in India. And so he came to America. He more or less, you know, went for broke, go for the rhinoceros, right? 69 years old, Sumati Maharaj, he wouldn't even give him a ticket. You're just going to go to die there, Swamiji. And she wouldn't give him it right away until he sat down in front of the door, right? And I said, okay. So he came to America. If we had, you know, it's such an unlikely historical event that it came out so incredibly successful. But why? Because Prabhupada found, you know, after some time, a great struggle, an audience who was very eager to hear and who didn't have all these misconceptions. They had misconceptions, but not impacted in from childhood. You know, they had some misconceptions from having read the Tibetan Book of the Dead or whatever. But basically, Prabhupada could go through those. But if someone is just taught from childhood, you know, that Krishna is incarnation of Vishnu, or, you know, he's pretty immoral, right? And all this craziness, then it's hard to break through that if you have. So he came, and Lord Chaitanya also broke through so much, you know, established just read about, you know, what it was like in Navadvip at the time. You know, there, it was a center of learning, but the devotees were in distinct minority there. There were so many nyayakas, you know, logic choppers and karmakandis and all kinds of things. And so that's why Advaita prayed, you know, you have to come yourself in order to spread this bhakti. And that's what this third line is about. Shashwat bhakti manodaya, samadaya madhurya mayadaya, that you're always stimulating devotional service at the highest levels. And that's that stimulation, that mercy is flowing through the cyclic succession of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all the way down to us. And so this verse is and it's a prayer, you know, please let that mercy be awakened in my heart. And what's the result of that mercy? Well, we get so many verses, beautiful verses. This one, Kaivalyam Nadakayate, Dasapura Akash Pushpayate. Duran Dendriya Kara Sarpapatavi Trotkata Dhamstrayate Vishwam Purna Sukhayate Vidi Mahindradis Kitayate Yat Karunya Kataksa Vaiva Vapatam Tam Gorami Vastamam. That Prabhupada would always quote this verse, especially about having to do with the Kaivalya. So here's the result. The last line says, those who've been empowered by the merciful sidelong glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that implies, you know, by being a servant, by preaching, by being a sincere devotee in his line, then here's the result. Kaivalya becomes like going to hell. In other words, merging. Does anyone here want to merge into the Brahman effulgence and lose your senses and just become? I don't think anyone here does, right? That's from the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Because that's very attractive if your spiritual aspiration is just to become relieved from misery, right? Mukti is a material desire, ultimately. This is explained at the beginning by Sridhar Swami. That's what Dharma Kroja Dikaitava is, that mukti, just the desire for mukti means I'm going to be liberated and get free of all misery. And the heck with everyone else. This is what Prahlad says. For the most part, this is what the transcendentalists are after. Prayana Deva Munayo Svava Mukti Kama. He calls it karma right there. Is it? So, that one becomes completely indifferent to this. In fact, sees it as hellish. Why? Because bhakti requires three things, right? Bhagavan, bhakta, and the bhakti, the exchange of loving service and reciprocation. So as soon as you merge into the Brahman, you don't have any senses. There's no personality of Bhagavan there. There's just you and the light, and I am that I am. I'm purely conscious, and I'm free of all misery. How wonderful that is. But isn't that boring? How long can you be satisfied just being free of misery? You get out of the hospital, you broke your leg, you know, and all you can think about, God, I wish this thing would be healed up. I could get out of here, you know. And so finally, you know, it heals up enough, you can get out. And is that your perfection? Now I'm finally out of the hospital? I could see. No, then you take up your other life, right? You have a whole other life. So getting free, it's after all, free from misery is just the byproduct of devotional service. Without priti, there's no bhakti. This is the teaching of Rishabha. Priti nayavan mai vasudeve namuchate dehi yoganatara. That without love for Vasudev, Krishna, and he identifies himself, me, I guess, there's no quest of getting freed from bondage to the body. So that's the first installment. Kaivalyam nadakayate. Chudashapur akasha pushpayate. So this is describing going to the heavenly planets and enjoying there like anything, as Krishna describes in chapter 9. So that's very, very attractive to certain students of the Vedas, the Karmakanda section. If that's all you know, naturally you're going to want to get a better material situation. Is it? And if you know about the heavens, then you say, okay, I'll be austere here, I'll perform sacrifice and do everything exactly right. And then I'll enjoy like anything in London, London and Garden, so on. That's your aspiration. So here he's saying these varieties of heavens, Tridashapur stands for 33 million of them, I think, or 30, are just like sky flowers. In other words, imaginary. You can't, who can get excited about a sky flower? It doesn't even exist. So in other words, who cares? Then the next one, and this is also probably often quote this line, Durdan dendi yakata sarva patavipo kata bhangstrayate. So this is for the yogis. This is the other thing. So you got the mukti kamis, the bhukti kamis, and the siddhi kamis here. So this is a, Durdan dendi yakata means the senses, which are very difficult to control, are like poisonous snakes. You know, think of cobras, you know, with those scary fangs, right? So the senses are always ready to do us ill, right? To drag the mind away and take and cause us harm. Really, the senses, when they're saturated with material desire, are our worst enemy, just like the mind. So here he's saying, the same senses are there, but being engaged in Krishna's service by the inspiration of Lord Chaitanya from his merciful glance. The same senses, the serpents are there, but the fangs have been removed. They can't hurt you. Because they're spontaneously engaged in serving Krishna. Yeah? So that's the third installment. And then he says, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. You see, as Prabhupada mentions here, you see the pastimes of the Lord engaged in everywhere. So it's blissful, even in this material world. Not that you're callous to the suffering that's going on. As Prahlad says, Shochetato, I'm lamenting for these other poor souls who aren't blissful because they're trying to enjoy those senses. So I'm going to give them Krishna consciousness. But for me, I have no problem. Vishnam Purna Sukhayade, the whole world is full of happiness. Even though Lord Krishna certifies Dukale Mashashita. That's for the materialists. And then, this is classic Prabodhananda Saraswati. He said something that we wouldn't dare say on our own, you know. Vidhi Mahindra Dishtakitayate. He sees Vidhi, Brahma and the other demigods as significant as insects, you know. So we offer them all respect, but as far as our worship goes, we don't need to do, right? That's the idea. So this is a result of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And so anyway, this purport is so rich, you could spend hours on it. But the idea is that, at such a time when Lord Krishna's mercy is manifest, Lord Chaitanya's mercy in the heart of the devotee, material needs no longer exist. You know, well, that's a state that, you know, you're practically ready to go back to Godhead at that point. But you don't feel the impingement, you know, that this is your all in all. How am I going to make enough money to pay the rent in order to do this and other? And what about my children? I got to send them to school. And then, you know, your whole mind is, absorbed in that. You know, that's what you say. Well, they exist, but they're secondary. They're simply facilitating your, you know, devotional service. So that's what this idea is. So Prabhupada, you know, he's running through. I could sense some of the Ado Shuddha Tathaksara Sangha here, the progressive purification, because this whole movement is existing on the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So all of that, the nectar of devotion, the instructions, the nectar of instruction, all of those very practical instructions, the do's and don'ts of devotional service, it's all inspired by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Where did it come from? You know, we read about how he instructed Rupa Goswami, he instructed Sanatana Goswami, and all of those teachings have come down to us. So that progression of purity in which we can taste, you know, the things that we read about so much. We can actually taste, you know, more of the beauty of Radha and Krishna. It's stunning. It's just every time I come into this temple, appreciate all glories to the pujaris and the dressers. You know, one of the things I just want to make a note about, and that is that this temple is practically unique, and it has a great, great treasure, and that is experienced elder, you know, many of them Prabhupada disciple, dressers of the deities, who you won't be able to do that in India. You know, female dressing, you know, or even getting on the altar, right? It's just not possible. But here you have a tremendous opportunity to dress the absolutely stunning deities of Radha and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya and Gauranathai. And so it's very special. Anyway, I'm just trying to express my appreciation for the service and the maintenance of this wonderful temple and altar. But to appreciate everything about Krishna consciousness, the holy name, the association of devotees, the deities, the prasadam, the service, to be so eager to chant, you know, that you don't want to stop. As Prabhupada says, I heard him say, why 16 rounds? Why not 16,000? You know, he's like saying. In other words, the point is, the holy name itself is so sweet. It's just like, you know, we all like sweets, right? In our earlier days, we'd have gulab jamun eating contest. Did you ever participate in that? Maharaj, back in the day? Well, you knew about them. I once had a pizza eating contest. I was part of it in Mayapur. This is a very, very special pastime. Nobody knows about it. Suhotra Swami, Bhakti Vijayapurna Swami, and myself. And Narasha was cooking the pizzas at his house. So, you know, I'm just a skinny guy, you know. But Bhakti, naturally, Suhotra Swami, he was the lunar. And he ended up, this is in my memory, burnished in my memory forever. He's on his back. And he's eating that last piece of pizza, and the cheese and everything is flowing down. He's on his back, and he won. And then what brings it to mind is that then there was dessert, you know, Misti Dahi. I don't know if I can have any dessert. So, you know, I didn't eat for 3 days, literally. That's my last pizza eating contest. But just think of gulab jamun. So the idea is a sweet, you know. So, okay, you want sweet, sweet, sweet. But then there comes a point where you can't have any more sweets. But if you can taste the holy name, as aren't we enjoying? Madodam, 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 what is it? Madodam, madodam, eritam, mangalam, mangalam, madodam, madodayadyopi, mangalayadyopi. So it's, somebody's tasting it that sweet, you know, and tunde tandabani, dhim vadanate. So the idea is that is the nature of the name, right? But our tongues are still covered with some of the bile of ignorance, and so we don't taste it that way. But if we strive for purification so we can taste it, who can stop you? You know? You can chant, 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 chant. You'll always have that ability to taste that sweetness. In other words, Krishna consciousness really, we're meant to experience at every moment the wonderful varieties of spiritual pleasure, which completely obliterates desire for material sense pleasure and even liberation or anything else. You know? And that's what Lord Chaitanya has made available to us through his example, his teachings, and his disciples and everything else. So that's where the mercy is really coming from. All right, I'm going to stop here because I have a little special treat that I like to share with you, and that is a poem that I wrote based on a poem by Rupa Goswami. It's one of the, I forget which one, I think the third Chaitanyashtaka at the beginning of the Stavamala. So I put that into a poem. The last line which goes, oh, Lord Chaitanya Srimukunda, Shachi's precious jewel, please shower your compassion on this wretched, stubborn fool. And so I thought I was especially attracted to that line. And so I put that particular one into English poetry. So if there's any discussion on these points, it's very rich purport and verses and sections. Yes, Prabhu.
One of the things I always loved about Srila Prabhupada's books are He has so many ways that he speaks English that's so, it's got his flavor, Srila Prabhupada's flavor, you know, like, today was a new one, Jubilate.
Jubilate.
I mean, that just stuck in my mind, you know, and then I love Cent for Cent. I mean, no one in the West uses, they always say 100%, but Prabhupada says Cent for Cent.
Yeah, believe me, I have a whole list of those, you know, Prabhupada is, you know.
That would be a, no,
there's no
be a nice book.
There's no inebrieties in the spiritual world. Prabhupada gave that word a new meaning. What does it mean? I have translators write to me, you know, because they're really good at English and they're really good at their language, but they've never seen the inebrieties used in such a way. Inebriety, if you go to the, it doesn't even have a plural, you know, in the outside world. But Prabhupada gave it this new meaning, you know. And so many turns of phrase, it really is. That's why, you know, if you want to read Krishna Leela, of course we have the Pancanta, we have the Anandabhadana Champa, we have the Gopal Champa. But if you read Krishna book, you know, you have the, you not only get Krishna Leela, but you get Prabhupada too, which is like a unique flavor. It's really wonderful. Yes, Prabhu.
Srila Swarup Damodar is actually, in a sense, the leader of our disciplic succession, because Rupa Goswami, who is actually the leader of our disciplic succession, had been trained by Srila Damodar, both Raghunath Goswami and Rupa Goswami. Also, Krishnadas Kaviraj compiled the Chaitanya Charitamrita from both Bhakti Swarup Damodar's notebook and more books.
You threw in the Bhakti Swarup, but I think you meant Swarup Damodar.
Yes.
Yeah. We did have a Bhakti Swarup.
Sorry.
It's okay. I think everyone understood
Bhakti
what you meant.
Damodar.
Yes, yeah, very important. His notes. How would we have all these details of those Leela, those incredible Leela, if you hadn't been there witnessing them, both of them, and giving those remembrances and notes to Krishna Sadhguru?
And also, it's stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that anybody who knows the science of rasa had to hear it from the Swarup Damodar, because he's the only one who understands it fully.
Yeah.
So we actually have a great debt to Swarup Damodar, who is Lalita Sakhi.
Yes.
One of Radharani's, her closest friend, actually.
Thank you for that extra information. Maharaj?
I just, before the rich text and purport, which is certainly worthy of a whole class, but you also read some verses leading up to that. And at the beginning, we were hearing of Swarup Damodar's function of screening Lord Chaitanya from so many pretentious poets and philosophers that, as you pointed out, they were wanted to present their literary productions to Lord Chaitanya. And so rather than have Lord Chaitanya swamped with what most of it would probably be not bona fide, so Swarup Damodar was kind of like the guard at the door, you know.
A spam filter.
Spam filter, that's a good way of putting it. Of course, the last thing these authors would think is that my work is spam. This isn't the ultimate. My question is, I always like to stir things up a little bit, but here we go. But my question is that in, you mentioned the technology and the facility we have. That's also a facility for publishing.
Yes, it is.
So not that it's being presented directly to Lord Chaitanya, but it's being presented directly to the ISKCON reading public, dozens and dozens of books, and many of them are you know, wonderful contributions. It seems some of them don't go through any process of proofreading
or editing,
anything like that. And that we forgive, you know, okay.
Yeah.
In general, aside from those more B9 type of errors that we could, okay, I hope they come out with a revised, edited edition, proofread edition that's easy to fix. But how are we don't have Swarup Damodar, you know, somewhere in the internet or somewhere out there, you know, screening, you know, keeping.
He doesn't have a website.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, right. It's like the internet itself. Anyone could publish anything. So how is that function fulfilled for us? And I'm not just talking about like little typos. I'm talking about the possibility. I'm not saying there are. I'm not saying there aren't. But if there are, which would be almost inevitable, how do we deal with that?
Yeah, that's a good question. We don't have that filter, certainly. I mean, in the old days, I remember we had about this many books, you know. We had, of course, when I joined, 73, and those who joined earlier can remember even fewer books, we had the Gita and the Macmillan Gita, and we had 2.5 cantos of the Bhagavatam. I was working on the third canto. That was my first proofreading job, volume 3. Vanyaksha. And then we had, of course, Nectar of Devotion, TLC, you join a couple of others, you know, this many books. Now there's a huge number of books, but it's Prabhupada's books have certainly expanded. But beyond Prabhupada's books, there are so many others, and it's not that they're completely verboten. In those days, it was, you know. If you were caught with a Gaudiya Math, a copy of XYZ, you know, you got into trouble, even though it was a book that was definitely in our line. Because it was said, okay, you know, Prabhupada's books, you have to... And so, but now, as you say, the internet is there, and everybody has a smartphone, at least, or whatever, and you can access everything, and everything is available. You want to read the Govinda Lilama? Do you really do? Just Google it. You know, you'll find it on there. or anything else. So there has to be an internal Subdhamadhar, if you will. There needs to be a... I remember, you have to be careful. You have to be careful. I remember Googling. I was looking up something about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I forget what it was. And I got on this site, and it sounded like good stuff. But before long, the person was railing against book distribution. So what the heck is this? And it was a certain devotee who had long gone from the movement and was doing his thing. I said, well, I have to be careful. I don't want to read that, you know. We have so much more, really, responsibility, because even just the morning program. I mean, when I joined the movement, if you joined the movement, you moved in. That's what it meant, you know, you moved in. And whoever lived outside. Well, we had one person living outside that I remember who had his own apartment, Gopal Krishna Prabhu. He lived across the street. He became Gopal Krishna Maharaj. Remember that? But basically, it was the movement. Raghakman, you can remember that, right? There was a women's ashram and everything. So, in one sense, it was very fortunate. You were very fortunate because it was very intense and very concentrated. Morning, evening programs, and a lot of peer pressure, get up early in the morning, everything, right? Huh? Cloister. So, it was an advantage to that. Now the movement is clearly completely different. You know, one has to be, has self-motivation to come to Mangalarti, chant your rounds, do all those things, and it can be difficult if the modes are impinging on you, you know. So the same thing holds true for what we read. And, it's a struggle be chaste, you know, and to basically concentrate on Prabhupada's books. I mean, he wanted us to read these other books of the Ghost Families, but he wanted them, of course, to be published by devotees. Gopi Pranadana Prabhu told me, Prabhupada told him, instructed him to translate the Chaitanya, Shikshamrita. Yeah, he did one chapter of it, or part of it, and then published in the BPG, Prabhupada liked it like that. And if you find letters, he talks about Jiva Dharma, you know, and in the CC, he said, if you want to understand Krishna, you have to read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. There's a passage like that in a purport in Adi Leela. So Prabhupada was open to that, but he was very, you know, strict that we understand his books first and that we see everything through the eyes of the teachings that he's given us so that we don't go off into outer space. And it's a constant struggle because the temptation is there. The internet is open and everything is there. And so this is a long topic, which I don't have time to get into, but you're right, is that we don't have that benefit of the filter. It has to be internalized, and from, you know, senior devotees and from Prabhupada's own words, what you should read in terms of Vaishnava literature. Can I read my poem? Okay. So I'm sorry I didn't think to put it up on the board. So you have to listen. This is another thing. Just we just have 1 or 2 minutes here. And that is one downside of all the technology and all of the video, you know, which is sometimes very important. You want to see the parikram and so on, is that the ability to visualize from just hearing is, I think, weakened. It's always given to you. What did McLuhan call it? A cold medium or hot medium? I forget which is which. Yeah. I mean, meeting is the message. And if it's just all video, you don't have to do the work of reading and visualizing from seeing. But you realize this is all I had in those days. When Rupa Goswami would write a verse or a book, right? Those words evoked images, vivid images in the mind, just like when you read a novel, or when we used to read novels, right? That was the whole idea. So, what I'm getting at is, as I read this poem, I'll read it slowly, try to visualize Lord Chaitanya, you know, dancing in Jagannath Puri and all the things that he's doing. And, it's a good exercise, because this is how we hear. Hearing and chanting means hearing, visualizing, repeating, you know, experiencing. So this is the Tritiya Chaitanya. It is the third Chaitanyashtika from Stavamala by Rupa Goswami. I'll just do one Sanskrit verse and then all the English. You get an idea. Upasita padam buddhas tamanodokta rudravibi papadna buddhashotamam padamadabhram udvrachitaha samastanata mandalis buddhadabhishta kalpadhramam shachi sutamahi prabho kudumakunda mande kutam. Mande means lazy or... what does he call it? Wretched. Your lotus feet are worshipped by the multitude of gods, beginning with Lord Shiva, in whose heart devotion throbs. You've made Lord Jagannath's great city by the sea your home, and there you shine with splendor as in ecstasy you roam. For all your loving devotees who beam like many moons, you are a wish-fulfilling tree bestowing endless boons. O Lord Chaitanya, Shri Mukunda, Shachi's precious jewel, please shower your compassion on this wretched, stubborn fool. Sripad Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya never finds the limits of your glories, what to speak of lesser minds. Even Lord Ananda and your other incarnations find their power to extol you, fraught with limitations. Your vast intelligence will surely never know defeat. I humbly bow before you and most earnestly entreat, O Lord Chaitanya, Shri Mukunda, Shachi's precious jewel, please shower your compassion on this wretched, stubborn fool. If you can pick up on that refrain line, feel free to chant it when I get to it. The glorious Upanishads had kept the secret sealed. By then the gem of pure devotion never was revealed. Nor did your most exalted incarnation show that jewel, for only you yourself could bring about the great renewal of Krishna Bhakti. And behold, you've reached your lotus hand into the nectar sea and cast that gem upon this land. O Lord Chaitanya Shri Mukunda, Shachi's precious jewel, please shower your compassion on this wretched, stubborn fool. Overwhelmed with love of Krishna, who is none but you, you dance ecstatically, astounding three-eyed Lord Shambhu. To all your humble devotees, I know you like this line, Maharaj, listen for it. To all your humble devotees, you gladly manifest the nectar of devotion, they feel infinitely blessed. I'm sorry, it's in the next one. Two verses. To all your humble devotees, you gladly manifest the nectar of devotion, they feel infinitely blessed. The proud and egotistical can never know your glories. To them, accounts of your great deeds are just so many stories. O Lord Chaitanya Shri Mukunda, Shachi's precious jewel, please shower your compassion on this wretched, stubborn fool. Even, this is my favorite verse, even low-born sinful souls entrapped in Kali's age, suffering uncounted pains that no one can assuage, are instantly delivered when you kindly seek them out and flood them with your splendid mercy, making bhakti sprout. And so with heart rejoicing at your mercy's endless store, I take full shelter of your lotus feet and then implore, O Lord Chaitanya, Shri Mukunda, Shachi precious jewel, please shower your compassion this wretched stone. Here, watch for it, Maharaj. Here it is. Trickling from your lotus mouth, the honey nectar stream of your pure words enlightens all and showers bliss supreme upon the humble bumblebees who are your devotees. What used to them are dry philosophies, austerities. You are an ocean full of gems, the holy names which bless all people on this planet with supreme auspiciousness. O Lord Chaitanya Sri Mukunda, Shachi precious jewel, please shower your compassion on this wretched, stubborn fool. The beauty of your face defeats the full moon's soothing glow. From full-blown lotus petal eyes, your loving glances flow. By clusters of your gentle smiles, your lovely lips are graced. Your chest is broad, your arms are like two glorious upraised snakes. Your handsome form defeats 100 million Kamadevs. And best of all, your mercy floods this world in endless waves. O Lord Chaitanya Sri Mukunda, such is precious jewel, please shower your compassion on this wretched, stubborn fool. O Lord, whose splendor calls to mind the golden daffodil. I chose that because of this picture on the back of the old Krishna book. The Prabhupada is looking at a daffodil, and we heard that he said, this is the color of Lord Chaitanya. You ever hear that? That's why. O Lord, whose splendor calls to mind the golden daffodil. I am the lowest sinner in this world of sinners. Still, you overlook the faults of one whose faults are like an ocean and bless him with the strength to practice unalloyed devotion. With this in mind, O Lord, who are most kind to fallen souls, I ask you with a humble heart, devoid of mundane goals, O Lord Chaitanya, Sri Mukunda, Shachi's precious jewel, please shower your compassion on this wretched, stubborn fool. Okay, now here comes the ninth verse, which is what you get for listening. O festival of happiness for all this world of woe, O Lord, O Lord, who caused the joy in Shachi's heart to overflow, O fulgent moon, whose glow is your unending spotless fame, O Bhagavan, whose mission is to spread your holy name, O Sri Chaitanya Chandra, kindly grant us one request. May those who hear these verses, feeling purified and blessed while deeply contemplating your exquisite lotus feet, attain to your love for you and make their blessed lives complete. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. So now I must say, anyone who wants this poem, but you're going to get all the others too, because I'm just going to send you my poem file, just write to me at dravida108@google.com. Is that how it is? Yeah. Dravida108 is my Gmail, I'm sorry. I'm a little space guy. At gmail.com. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.